Well, Kristen, there's really only one movie to talk about this week. It's the only wide release. It scared off everything else from every other studio just about.
Yes.
Marvel's The Avengers.
Oh, I thought you were going to say First Position, the new independent documentary about children in ballet.
Not that one.
Oh, the other big one.
I believe that's playing in 4 theaters around the country, whereas The Avengers is playing in more than 4,000.
That's a lot of theaters.
It's a lot of theaters. This is the big gorilla of the summer. This is very possibly the big gorilla of the year, box office-wise. Thor, Iron Man, Hulk, Captain America, Nick Fury.
Spider-Man, Aquaman. That guy who can stretch himself like rubber.
Right. Yeah. Plastic Man. Stretch Armstrong.
The Wonder Twins.
the Power Rangers.
Electro Woman and Dinah Girl. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Everyone is in this movie. So you and I are going to talk about it. And do you remember the scene, Kristen, when Thor and Captain America are fighting? They're fighting in the forest, and Thor, the unstoppable force, brings his hammer down on Captain America's shield, Captain America, the immovable object.
Yes.
And when those two meet, a giant ring of blue sort of, I don't know what, power or energy goes radiating out, you know, decimating the forest. I think, Kristen, that's going to be you and I talking today.
Oh my God!
About the Avengers,
you have a lot of confidence in us today.
I do.
All right. Well, I'm ready for that vibranium action to happen.
Okay.
But before we do that, let's introduce ourselves, shall we?
Let's.
I'm Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway,
and I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
Bum, bum. That's the sound of me making some sort of superhero introduction.
That's you landing in your tights and cape.
Yes, that's me. Bum,
to save the day.
Yes. And you know why I'm saving the day? I'm saving the day because I want to first, before we get started on The Avengers, give the trivia answer for last week's question. Last week's trivia question, which was about the 5-year engagement.
Right.
We talked about Jason Segel being nude oftentimes in his movies.
That's right.
In the 5-year engagement, in Forgetting Sarah Marshall. We asked, what was the first movie to show actually a romantic comedy to show a man naked just from the waist up?
Yes, right.
Jason Segel's famous for doing it all over the place, but another movie is famous for a man doing it from the waist up, another romantic comedy. The answer, Rafer?
Give us the big reveal, Kristen.
The answer is...
Perhaps you're interested in how a man undresses. You know, there's a funny thing about that. Quite a study in psychology. No two men do it alike. You know, I once knew a man who kept his hat on until he was completely undressed. Yeah, now he made a picture. Years later, his secret came out. He wore a toupee. Yeah. You know, I have a method all my own. If you'll notice, the coat came first, then the tie, and the shirt. Now, according to Hoyle, after that, the pants should be next. Here's where I'm different. I go for the shoes next. First the right, and the left. After that, it's every man for himself.
It happened one night, and it was Clark Gable, Claudette Colbert. He's teasing and taunting her. He takes off his shirt. There's no undershirt underneath.
Holy mackerel.
Oh, no, there's not. There is a naked man from the waist up. And I really mean from the waist up.
Yes.
I don't even think his belly button shows.
His pants are
quite high back then.
They wore them high those days.
Yeah, they sure did that. But you have another trivia question for this week.
Yes. All right. So since we're talking about superhero movies, here is this week's trivia question. What superhero movie shares the same plot as the Jennifer Aniston comedy Office Space?
That's right. The movie
Office
that
Space,
all men like to quote.
That's right. Office Space fans will know this, you know, instead they have already shouted out this answer. But the rest of you may not know. I'll repeat that. What superhero movie shares the same plot as the Jennifer Aniston comedy Office Space? Yes, it's true. So if you know, give us a call, 571-7-MOVIES. That's our number. And
you can also log onto our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
That's
right. A lot of you guys do already. facebook.com/moviedatepodcast.
We may play your answer on the podcast. We may, if you write to us, we may read out your answer. But it's kind of more fun, I think, to have your voice on the on the podcast, right? So give us a call, 571-7-MOVIES.
And I'll already say now, I have no idea what the answer is because I am not a heterosexual male. So I don't know.
There you go, Krista. There you go.
Speaking of heterosexual males, I don't know if the Avengers was trying to target me. Do you think it was trying to target me?
I think it was. I think you are allowed under the tent pole, as they say in this movie.
Well, give us a summary of the movie right first.
All right. Summary of the film. So there's an alien army coming to Earth. I think named the Chitauri. I hope I have this right. Fanboys, if I'm wrong, please forgive me. I think they're called the Chitauri, not to be confused with the Volturi from Twilight. Different group.
Wouldn't that be awesome if it was?
If Michael Sheen came around with them, yes, that would be awesome. So they are coming to Earth. They are aided by the Power Cube, which has been around for quite a while in the Marvel Universe. The Tesseract, it's called now. It used to be just called the Cosmic Cube, I think. Now it's a portal that's going to allow this alien army in, and it's all being staged by Thor's lousy brother, Loki, the jealous, covetous, power-hungry Loki, played by Tom Hiddleston.
Which I do have to point out, Loki was my school mascot at Olson Junior High School in Minnesota.
Is that right?
Isn't that a weird mascot to have?
Isn't he the god of, like, mischief or something?
Mm-hmm,
he
sure is, yeah.
Yeah, he's not so mischievous in this film. He's more just
evil,
destructive and horrible, right?
Yes, that's right.
One of my favorite bars in Park Slope is called Loki.
Oh, yeah, they have nice coaches.
Yeah, right. So that's the basic plot, and what you have is four kind of mismatched superheroes coming together to try to save the world from this army. You know, they're all these superheroes coming together from their own different universes, or you could say from their own different movie franchises, right?
Mm-hmm.
Thor, played by Chris Hemsworth, Iron Man, of course. Those two are later additions, but yes, two new additions: Black Widow, played by Scarlett Johansson, and Hawkeye, the arrow slinging superhero, played by Jeremy Renner from The Hurt Locker.
Mm-hmm.
And so, who else? Well, Robert Downey Jr., of course.
We have the Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk, Mark Ruffalo, mm-hmm. and last but not least, who am I forgetting? Oh, Captain America, played by Chris Evans.
I love Captain America.
Me too.
We both loved that movie.
Yes, we both loved that movie. Really one of my favorite superhero movies of the last, I don't know, easily last 5-10 years.
I totally agree.
All right, great. Okay, so a promising start. Let's put our cards on the table, Kristen. Do you want me to go first or do you want to go first?
You know what? I think you should go first.
Okay.
You should do it.
Uh-oh. Okay, so here's what I'm going to say. I thought this was a really good, fun first Friday in May, crowd-pleasing summer movie. You know, you've got four different superheroes, four different sets of fanboys to please, a couple of new characters to throw in. You got to have all the old, you know, you got to have Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury. You got to have Clark Gregg as Phil Coulson, all these things to wrap in. And I think Joss Whedon, the director and the co-writer, does a really great job of bringing it all together and keeping it fast and funny and smart and enjoyable. This is not The Dark Knight. There's no real depth or kind of artistry going on here, but I think this is a great popcorn movie. That's my quick summary.
And you want to know what I think?
Tell me.
Well, Rafer, I hated it.
Yeah, you hated it?
I walked out of it.
Walked out of the Avengers.
I walked out of the Avengers. I stayed for an hour and a half and...
You missed half the movie. It's 2.5 hours long, Kristen.
Oh, my God. An hour and a half in... It's just at that point where they're starting to have their infighting, and I thought, oh, there's going to be another hour I have to sit through.
Because you were right.
Because the team, you know how the superhero group or the team arc goes. You get together, you try to unite against a force. There's a point where you break down. There's a point you have to get the team back together.
Back together, right, correct.
So it's an hour and a half in, and they're just starting to break down. I'm thinking, I cannot sit through one more minute of this terrible, terrible movie.
Wow. So you were just done. You had it.
I just could not stand it. And I was so surprised looking around that everybody else wasn't just getting up and leaving, too. I'm like, come on, everybody.
Oh, boy. The people at my screening were into it in the men's room afterwards. People were just talking. I heard one guy screaming, really almost literally at the top of his lungs, Joss Whedon is God. people were just so excited about this film. I was not that excited, but I still thought it was a good movie.
Oh, my God. Awful.
Really?
I just, you know what I felt like, Rafer? I felt like I was at a high school reunion of a school I didn't attend with the most irritating, self-important people in the whole world. None of them would ever shut up or stop fighting each other. And nobody knew why. That's how I felt.
Ah, okay. So you felt
old home week at a home I didn't want to be at. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. See, this is interesting because I feel that Avengers is basically trying to – I think the toughest job here for Joss Whedon is to please those fanboys and bring the rest of us in too. I think that is his toughest row to hoe here, and I think he did a pretty good job of it. But you're saying the exact opposite. You're saying he shut you out.
Yeah, he totally shut me out.
And he walked into Comic-Con and shut the doors behind you and you couldn't get in.
I couldn't get in. I felt every time somebody new came on screen, the audience would laugh knowingly,
right,
and clap.
Right. Yes,
I don't care.
Right.
Why?
Right.
And then and it just felt like it was nonstop. And at the beginning of this podcast, we were joking around about, you know, oh, and the movie has Electra Woman and Dinah Girl,
right,
and it has the Bugaloos, and
right,
it has the it has Aquaman, it has Spider-Man. That's kind of how I felt. I'm like, oh, every 5 seconds, they're just going to add one more person.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
So.
You know
how I feel about this.
I know how
movie.
You feel now. All right.
Yeah.
So there goes the hammer to the shield. Round one, Kristen. All right. So here's what I would say. Let's talk about the best and the worst things about this movie, because I don't want to come off as all breathless and excited and, you know.
But you are.
I liked the movie. I thought it was a lot of fun. There are some problems with this film. But let's start with a few things. Let's start with, let's say, you were talking about all the fighting.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about what you think the best and worst fight scenes are. Or if you don't think any of them the best, you can just say what the worst is. That's fine.
I'm going to say the worst is that one that you're talking about in the forest with the vibranium shield and Thor's hammer and Loki and whoever else is involved in that fight. I lost track for a while.
Yes.
Closed my eyes and kind of leaned back, and the fighting was still going on when I opened my eyes.
It's Iron Man versus Captain America versus Thor.
Oh, God.
Right? I think that's what it is.
I don't know. I just
look at how
interested I am.
That's true. So that just, you just thought that was just dumb. That just bummed you out.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Captain America's shield versus Thor, who's a god.
Right. Well, right. Okay.
You know, whatever. American versus Americant. Whatever. All right.
Okay.
What's the worst fight scene to you?
Well, I'll just say, here's what I'll say. You took the best, you took the worst one. I'll say what I thought the best one was. The best one was, to me, the best and shortest fight scene was Hulk versus Loki, which you did not stay around for. You missed that one.
Mm.
But Hulk versus Loki, I'm not going to spoil it, actually, because I thought it was so funny and so unexpected. And I thought it showed a lot. I thought it showed how far Joss Whedon was willing to go to make this movie funny and light and not, you know, not so serious. And I mean that in a good way. I thought it was really funny, and it really got a belly laugh out of me, to be honest, in that film.
Hmm.
My vote for worst fight scene, which you again did not see, would be the 20-minute climax at the end. Not that it was awful, but we have seen Manhattan being destroyed before. We have seen the children on the school bus who are trapped. We have seen people in office buildings staring outside as alien warships go past their workspace. I thought a lot of that was very, very familiar. Still fun, still well handled, you know, zippy, lots of one-liners, still enjoyable. Not the most original part of the movie, I would say.
I'm really glad I left.
You know, you probably are in that case. You probably are.
Do you want to talk about, oh, God. You were saying that there's a dumbest and a smartest moment we could talk about in this movie if we each chose one.
I think, yeah, smartest and dumbest moment.
Okay. I'm going to say the dumbest moment is probably from roughly the opening credits to the closing credits, although I did stay for the closing credits, so I can't actually say that that's the case.
Well, all right. Now, I will say,
Did I mention how much I did not like this movie?
You did mention that. You did mention that. I agree with you that the opening sequence where you've got the growly voiced Chitauri guy lurking around giving some exposition and talking about his plans for Doomsday, a little on the corny side. I agree with you on that one. And also I thought the sets looked a little not that great in that one. He's sort of stalking around, sliding his hands across what are clearly some sort of foam mountains.
Some of them look like they were made out of tinfoil.
Yeah,
some of the stuff is like,
paper
plates and tinfoil.
Right.
Yeah.
here and there were some obvious problems there. But I think the best, to me, one of the smartest things about the movie was the interplay between the superheroes. And particularly what I liked was the interplay between Captain America and Iron Man, where you've got, again, I don't know if you saw this part, Kristen, but you've got old-fashioned, earnest Captain America battling with Iron Man, who is this slick, slippery, postmodern, snarky hero. And I thought they played off each other very well, and they were believable. And it made sense to me that those two characters would rankle each other because they come from sort of opposite sets of, approaches to the world. And that kind of showed me how much thought these writers, Zach Penn was one of the co-writers, that showed me how much thought these guys had put into these characters and how much time they had invested into these characters. And I think it showed, and I think it paid off. So that's what I would say I think is the smartest moment in the film.
Okay. All right. I can kind of agree with that.
You're almost buying that one.
I'm almost buying that.
All right.
I did like that personality matchup between Captain America and Iron Man. Mr. Ernest and Mr. Billionaire philanthropist.
Playboy.
Right. Whatever his title is.
As he defines himself. Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So...
So we were going to talk about best line and worst line. Do you even have a best line candidate, Kristen?
God, I'm a negative Nancy this
you
week.
Really
okay.
are.
Last week I was calling you the negative Nancy, but
right.
I'm sorry. I shouldn't be name calling.
Oh, that's
not
all right.
Nice, but I'm being a negative Nancy this week. But I think it's warranted because it's so awful, and there are just so many like. I can't even think of all the lines that were really bad. I just felt anything that Thor was saying to Loki and vice versa just sounded forced and awful.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, it's like, we are gods talking. Yeah. Give me my hammer.
I actually thought Thor did a pretty good job. I thought Chris Hemsworth was quite good in the role, and I think he had I think he's kind of booming out these Beowulfian lines that he's got, and I thought they were actually... like delivered with a sense of humor and a sense of fun that gave me a chuckle. I thought that was good.
I'm just like, what the hell are you guys doing in this movie? You're not superheroes. You're Norse gods.
I know that Thor is a puzzling one. It's difficult to understand if you've got a god, what he's possibly doing down on Earth, what could harm him, and what happens to him if he were to die. Right. It's a puzzler. I agree. Okay, I will say I think the best line in the movie to me, there are many good ones and I don't want to spoil them, but one of the funniest lines to me, and Robert Downey Jr. gets most of them, is when he refers to Thor as Point Break. He's passing by, slapping on the shoulder, calling him Point Break. I thought it was funny.
That
and
was
all
pretty
of that,
funny. Yeah.
All of Robert Downey Jr.'s lines clearly just improvised off the top of his head. He's very funny, and he kind of steals the show in a lot of ways. I thought he was funny. Dumbest line, I'm going to say... And also kind of the least interesting people are Black Widow and Hawkeye. I think they're the least interesting part of the film. And I think Black Widow gets the dumbest line where she sits and says, I got a lot of red in my ledger, which means that like she's done a lot of bad things in her life. And I kind of thought like, I'm not really sure I'm ready to get into your whole kind of, Jason Bourne history here and have you like, wringing your hands about all the evil you've done in the world. I wasn't buying that.
Okay, but I just have to interject here.
Okay.
Let's talk about the best and worst superhero in this movie.
Okay, let's go.
And I am so mad at you for thinking Black Widow's not the best one.
Really?
She is the only good thing about this movie. I hated this whole movie, but I liked Black Widow. I probably loved Black Widow.
Interesting.
I thought
okay.
She was great. I thought that when she fought, it was fierce, and she's not radioactive. She wasn't modified by the government, like right. like Captain America. She's not radioactive like the Hulk.
Like the
She's
Hulk,
not a
right.
god.
Who right, okay.
Out. She's just somebody who's totally kick-ass, fierce, do not mess with me, who is very inventive in how she fights. She does stuff that you don't necessarily see coming, especially her first fight scene, which I think is fantastic.
Mm-hmm,
in the movie.
Yes, that's a good scene.
Yeah, and so how could you not think she's the best superhero in this thing?
I guess partly because what you're saying is you liked her because she's not a superhero. In fact, she's an action hero, right? And so that's okay. But in this movie, I just felt – and it's not as though I felt she was hand – well, it's not that I didn't object to her character. I just felt that she and Agent Barton, Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner, I felt they had no real chemistry. I didn't buy this sort of almost not quite romance they seem to have.
Oh, I wasn't there for that.
Oh, you weren't there. Okay. All right. You missed that part. I didn't buy that, and I'm really honestly I'm blaming Jeremy Renner more than I'm blaming Scarlett Johansson. Even though I think we all really love Jeremy Renner in The Hurt Locker, I really did not like him in Mission Impossible. I thought he was really humorless. I thought he really dragged that movie down. And I feel like he really drags this movie down as well. I feel like he's a really sort of dead, not very lively, and not very funny presence in the film, just as he was in Mission Impossible. And I found him to be kind of a bummer in this film.
Well, who's your favorite superhero in it then?
For me, Captain America.
Really?
Love Captain America. I think I love him because he's, you know, he's romantic. He's chivalrous. He's, you know what? He's old-fashioned. And here's what I think I like about him. He's Heartland without being Red State.
Oh.
I like that about Captain America. He's got all the good of that sort of old family values and none of the bad. And I think Chris Evans does a really good job as him. So I liked him. How about you?
I already said that Black Widow was my favorite. My least favorite, I just have to give it to Loki. I think Loki is just every freaking time he's on screen, I just want to, I want to throw my popcorn at the screen.
No kidding.
So just not my favorite.
All right, not your favorite.
But at the end of the day, we all know I'm going to say this is a bad date. This is one of the worst dates you could ever bring me on.
All right, I'm going to say this is a totally good date. I might even call it a great date.
You can enjoy. You and all those other heterosexual men can go on a date together.
All right.
Have fun with yourselves.
All right. And for all you and we'll appeal here to a different set of nerd, the Office Space nerds. We'll repeat the trivia question again. What superhero movie shares the same plot as the Jennifer Aniston comedy, Office Space? 571-7-MOVIES. Give us a call. Tell us your answer.
Yay!
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.